And the pitch, a swing and a miss. Haas strikes out, and the inning is over. Now, Brewers had runners in scoring position after a stolen base by Monasterio, but they strand a pair, a couple of hits in the inning as well. We go to the bottom of two, no score on the Brewers Radio Network, presented by American Family Insurance.
In baseball, players spend time in the minors before making it. That's not the case with union construction trades like the operating engineers. As a union apprentice, you earn good money while you learn a trade. And graduates from union apprenticeship programs earn 41% more than their non-union counterparts. They even earn more than a typical worker with a master's degree. So if you are ready to earn big league bucks, go to join139.com to learn more.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Flash frozen and vacuum packed, Usinger's fresh brats are styrofoam free and will stay for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest and most additive free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with all of our other great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on the table.
Dear baseball fans, swing into action with Toyota's 2025 lineup. Leading off, the RAV4, a utility all-star that delivers in the clutch. On deck, the spacious Grand Highlander, followed by the fuel-savvy Corolla. Next up, our slugger Tacoma, bringing upper deck power every at-bat. And rounding out the lineup, the playmaking all-hybrid Camry. For more, visit Toyota.com or your local dealer. Toyota, let's go places.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. That's because their team is always there to protect your dreams.
We go to the bottom of the second inning, a 0-0 ball game. Brandon Woodruff. It's all easy from here for Brandon Woodruff. At a 1-2-3 first inning, now he faces Agustin Ramirez. And the first pitch to Ramirez in there for a strike. It's 0-1. Brewers stranded a pair in the top of the second inning, both in scoring position. Woodruff brings home the 0-1 pitch, and this is fouled back our way and will land just below us. No balls and two strikes. A stolen base for Andrew Monasterio, his first of the year, and that means the Brewers bagged another donation to Special Olympics Wisconsin, courtesy of Delta Dental and Delta Vision. Swing and a miss. Ramirez strikes out on a sweeper down and away from Brandon Woodruff. And that is his third ortho ASAP strikeout already here this afternoon. Big Woo off to a great start so far. Here's Kyle Stowers. Down to the windup, Woodruff's pitch. Missed up and away with a fastball at 92. It's 1-0. Pitch. Fly ball. Right center field. Very playable. Coming in is Frelick. He'll call everybody off and make the catch. And two down. And this inning starting very much like the first inning started. Strikeout. Fly ball to right. And there's two down now for Eric Wagaman. Schneider and their professional truck drivers remind you to buckle up whenever you're behind the wheel. It's the law, and it can save your life. Woodruff has used just 15 pitches so far to retire the first five he's faced. First offering to Wagaman. He is swung on and fouled back into the net, and it's 0-1. Fastball at 93, right down the middle that time from Woody. Wagaman hitting 250, five home runs, 33 driven in. A one pitch. This is a liner to center, but playable. Back into his left a couple of steps is Churio. Makes the catch. Six up, six down for Big Woo here in Miami. We go to the third, a 0-0 ball game on the Brewers Radio Network, presented by American Family Insurance. Over 100 years of serving Southwest Wisconsin, all of us at Jones Chevrolet are honored to continue the tradition. We love to help you choose a new Chevrolet. We love to help with maintenance, repairs, and accessories, too. Schedule a service appointment, see our inventory, connect with a sales professional, and get pre-approved for competitive financing at JonesChev.com. Come see the exciting new Chevrolets. Jones Chevrolet, over 100 years of being your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
Dive into the heart of Wisconsin flavor at Arthur's Supper Club in Spring Green. Fridays are all about the classic Wisconsin fish fry with the added bonus of live bands. But that's not all. On the first Saturdays of the month, savor an amazing all-you-can-eat prime rib buffet that's sure to satisfy your cravings. And here's something special. They're now serving certified black Angus beef for the ultimate dining experience. Save the date for the fourth Wednesday of the month for the lobster feast. Arthur's Supper Club, where every meal is a celebration. Bring your appetite and your friends to Arthur's Supper Club in Spring Green. Good food, good times, and great memories await.
The Milwaukee Brewers play here all season long. Catch the game on us, WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We go to the third inning here in Miami. It's a 0-0 ballgame. Brewers and Marlins, and stepping in with a play-by-play, here's Josh Maurer.
Thank you, Lane. Top of the order coming up against Edward Cabrera. Starting with Sal Frelick. He'll take outside. Ball one. Got hit by a pitch. Just clipped his leg on the first at-bat or plate appearance of the ballgame. Brewers have had chances, but they've stranded three. 1-0. Upstairs, 2-0 on Sal. Contreras and Yelich to follow. Brewers starting the second time through against Edward Cabrera. The right-hander has been great for the Marlins. 27 years of age. Out of the Dominican. The 2-0 pitch. Bluffed the bunt, pulled back, and took a strike. 96. Right at the knees. I don't think he was ever going to bunt. Sal was taking a strike. Now it's 2-1. Here's the pitch. Chopped foul off of his lower body in the box. 2-2. It's time for the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Three bagger in the third contest. Our contestant is Amy Meyer. She's from Eagle River. Amy wins a Pottawatomie prize package if a member of the crew hits a triple this inning. Visit WTMJ.com. Leading off is Frelick, the 2-2. Just missed. Outside with a curveball. Oh, so close, but a full count. Brewers stranded a runner at second base in the first, and then stranded them on second and third last inning when Eric Haas struck out. Cabrera from the windup, 3-2. Then on the ground towards first, fair ball behind the bag, played by Eric Wagaman, and he'll take it himself in time to retire Frelick. Beat him there by about a step. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Brewers Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Brandon Woodruff's gone six up, six down over his first two innings in his return to the mound. We are scoreless in the third as William Contreras takes low and away ball one from Edward Cabrera, the Miami pitcher. The series rubber match. Brewers won Friday, Marlins yesterday. The 1-0 pitch, Contreras took a strike. Right at the bottom of the zone, didn't have to be. Hit a soft pop-up that turned into a fielder's choice, did William in the first inning. 1-1. Called a strike again, right around the knees, probably low. But it was in the same spot as strike one, so the umpire Ron Culpa said, I gotta call it, it's the same pitch. 1-2. Now the pitchers know that that's available. One out, the 1-2 pitch. Too low. Tried that slider again, and that one was near the ankle, so it's 2-2.
Presumably, Josh. It's presumably available. Subject to change.
I guess you're right. For those two pitches, it was. William normally would never really bark at an umpire.
when he's batting because he wants the same calls for his pitcher. Now, he's not the catcher today for the Brewers. He's the DH. Cabrera's 2-2. Popped into left. Over goes Roberto Hernandez. Now coming in and calling him off is Dane Meyers in left center. And Meyers made the catch. He's the center fielder. The ball that was dying quickly there. Contreras flies out. There are two gone. And here comes Christian Yelich. Here's a club you'll want to get into. Club Citgo. The super easy app opens the door to great fuel savings and more. Sign up and instantly save 23 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. Download the Club Citgo app today. Pitch to Yelich. And on the ground, this will be a play for the third baseman. Norby diving to get it. And he gets up and throws at Yelich by a half a step. Connor Norby was where a shortstop normally would be. In fact, Otto Lopez was waiting right behind him. But he dove in front of Otto, and Norby made the play to retire the side. It's a 1-2-3 inning for Edward Cabrera, although the Brewers are going to challenge and say that Yelich had beaten that throw from Norby, and so hold the phone.
Milwaukee's challenging the outfield first base.
If you're using your challenge this early in the game, in the third inning, you probably have pretty good video evidence that the throw was late.
And the key is he got to the front of the bag. This is really close. It does look like he's safe. Yeah, I think this should get overturned. I never count on anything with replay, but this, it's very close, but it does look like there should be enough to overturn this, and that's why the Brewers challenged.
All replay reviews are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella experience. Right now, get 0% interest for up to 5 years if you order by July 31st at PellaWI.com. Our crew chief, who is also the home plate umpire today, Ron Culpa, is the one getting the verdict from the umpires in New York City. It's either a 1-2-3 inning for Cabrera or Yelich is safe. Let's find
out. After review, the corner field is overturned. The runner is safe.
Christian Yelich ends up legging out an infield single, despite the best efforts of Norby. Probably would have been better served to just let the shortstop field the ball.
Absolutely. I get it. Everything that you can get to is the third.
Really that simple. And, you know, I just came to it with passion. That's I wanted everybody to feel about it the way I felt about it. So that's how I tried to portray it in a way that would say that this is cool and these people are worth every moment of your attention.
Yeah, and, you know, and for those who don't know Sid Collins, he was the person who coined the term the greatest spectacle in racing in reference to the Indianapolis 500, which I think it absolutely is all of that. So racing was the end goal. That was a question that I was going to ask you. So it was something that you wanted to get into broadcasting, but you wanted to get into broadcasting specifically to call motor races.
Right. There was actually a period of time there when I actually thought I was a race driver.
And, really?
I raced in the SCCA in a Formula Ford.
That's right.
In fact, I took my driver's school, my first driver's school at Road America.
Oh, no kidding.
And at the time, I didn't know anything about Road America, despite the fact that I'm a military brat, and my last place that I lived with the family was on the north side of Chicago.
Okay.
So I really should have known about it, but I was more focused on Indy and stuff like that. But I knew I wanted to try to be a race driver, and I ended up going to the SCCA, and you had to take two driver schools. One was here in Indianapolis, and the other was Road America. And Augie Papps was our chief instructor. And just pulling up to Road America and saying, oh, my goodness, look at this place.
Yeah.
It was so cool, and it really, really was an enjoyable time, and I loved going back there. But anyhow, my 7-year career of racing Formula Fords and SCCA netted me, I think, 3 pewter cups.
Oh, nice.
And certainly no cash. And
no.
And I said, you know, this is really not for you. You can drive fast, which I could, but I could not compete strongly against other guys right alongside of me. I mean, I did okay, but
I would imagine. I would imagine
you probably know the same feeling. You know, you're there, you're fast, but you're not quite fast enough.
Right. I would imagine that gives you a lot of perspective on what it took to call a race. You know, actually going through the turns and seeing what the drivers go through.
Yeah, especially since a lot of the drivers out of that era, well, still many of them today, come through the Formula Ford ranks on their way to the pros. And with the Formula Ford in that day, with no aerodynamics, you really had to know how to I call it love the car. Mm. You have to be able to get it in and out of corners smoothly. It didn't have any real power to speak of, so you learn management of power, and it was a great car to learn how to race in.
Yeah, I this past weekend actually I went to my first SCCA race, and it was the June Sprints at Road America that we had.
Oh my God, is that the greatest or what?
It was. Oh my gosh. Well, and so a friend of mine, he operates and he manufactures and like soups up Mini Cooper B-Spec. So a B-Spec for listeners is like front wheel drive, like a Ford Fiesta or, you know, and they take these cars and strip them all down and make them little mini rocket ships. And I called our local SCCA guy who does all the testing and everything. And I said, well, I have racing experience. So, you know, do I have to still go to the school? And I didn't hear back because I called him on that Thursday, and that was June Sprints, which is, I mean, hundreds of cars was there.
Yeah.
And then I went to my first event, and I was just like gobsmacked by, you know, the difference in what I do racing in circles on a dirt track to what it takes to do that, even at that low level.
Yeah.
You're yeah. Right. And so
I will tell you. I'll tell you a story. Since you mentioned June Sprints, of course, everybody wanted to go to.
Oh yeah.
And in the day, we have, I guess, what we were driving, you call Club Ford today.
Sure.
And the our field was the full subscription for Road America, 80 Formula Fords.
Jeez.
And so there is the bridge going up the hill, right?
Yep.
And so the rule in SCCA was green to the front row is green to the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you qualified like in the 20th row or something, you wouldn't see the green flag when it came out.
Right.
You're coming up the hill.
Yeah.
So we got a guy to get on the bridge, and he had a little orange, bagel orange disc. And as soon as the green flag came out, he's on the bridge, and he starts waving that. And so we can see it. So now we're passing all these guys who don't know about that. that's a kind of a Roger Penske move. Isn't
oh, yeah.
It?
Yeah, I know. That's awesome.
We read the rules as closely as we could.
Yeah, that's right. And you followed them. That's right.
Yep.
It's within the rule. It was I met a guy that was on the road to Indy, and his name is Bobby mm-hmm. Eberle. I'm sure he'll listen to this. He's a great guy. And he was on a quest to become the oldest rookie to ever qualify for the Indianapolis 500. And he ultimately didn't
do it.
Yeah, it was really cool. And, you know, he gave me like backstage passes, if you will, to when he was in Pro Mazda. Yeah, so that's like two rungs down from IndyCar. And that was a number of years ago. But to see those cars going full speed up that hill towards the green flag at Road America was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had in my life. I hope people can do that at some point, because it really is remarkable. And then this past weekend, we went to, for the first time, I've been to Road America a number of times, but I've never been to Siepkins. And that is a very famous racing bar, and they have like autographs. I think Paul Newman autographed the wall. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of Mario Andretti, and he autographed that. And so, you know, it's so cool because, you know, I took my boys there, and they got to see the sights and hear the engines, and you know, I hope that they have a love for motorsports instilled in them, because then, you know, they get to go to these events and see the wonder and the awe that is performance race cars doing truly incredible things.
Yep.
Yeah, it is something. And it really was a remarkable experience. And we're going to continue this discussion on the other side with Paul Page. We're going to talk about how the industry of broadcasting works in motorsports. We'll be right back.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WLAKradio.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution with host Mark Becker. We'll get back to his conversation he had last year with Paul Page, legendary broadcaster. First, once again, that message from Mark Becker about a comment he made last week on the show.
Hey, everyone. Mark here. Hey, if I make a mistake that might cast doubt in the hearts and the minds of our listeners when it comes to especially stuff like the election, I do want to get that corrected because that's true to my integrity and it's true to the integrity of the show. Last week, in the heat of discussion, I incorrectly said that Kamala Harris got more votes than Donald Trump. She didn't. She got about 2 million less. However, the point I was trying to make was that Donald Trump keeps saying that he has this mandate. He doesn't. The fact is, the majority of the country voted for someone else. And that was the point that I was trying to make. So I'm sorry if that caused any confusion, but you know, on this show, it's not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong. And I want to make sure that we get that one right. So thank you for listening, and looking forward to seeing you down the road. We'll see you next week.
Welcome back on the Rational Revolution. You've got Mark Becker, and we have a special episode here continuing with legendary motorsports broadcaster Paul Page is with us. And I want to talk about, I'm going to take you back to when you were in the thick of it. And, you know, one of the things that I think makes you so timeless is from a general broadcasting sense, you had the talent to, yeah, I could close my eyes and I could picture what was happening on the television. And I don't know if I've ever experienced that since. Radio broadcasters, you know, MRN, PRN, the guy, those folks, they come close, but it's not Paul Page. And how do you prepare for something like that?
You have to paint the picture, and you have to think about how you're going to do that. And so you end up putting a lot of adjectives in there. You know, this color, this car is not just blue. I mean, it's royal blue, and it's sparkling in the sun, that sort of thing. And the more you do that and the more you create that theater, the more you become accustomed to narrating in that particular way. And the idea then that when you are done, that you have painted some sort of a picture that the fan can follow. And if you look at television and the television part of my career, I was always taught to be, and by Sid and others, a storyteller. And we don't see that much of that today. That that's wrong. It's just the way things have gone. But when I was coming up, the real thing with all of us was to tell the story, to have, here's a great example. Here's Al Unser Jr. and Emerson Fittipaldi, and they're racing for the win at the Indy 500.
Yes, yep.
And I decided as a television guy that I told the story. I set everything up, what it meant to those two individuals, how important, how significant this was, how significant it was in the world of motorsports, because Indy is the pinnacle.
Yes.
And then I decided, we've been watching these two guys. We know what the story is. And then I just went silent. And every lap or so, it was for about six laps, I would just say, you know, there's 15 miles to go, three laps to go.
Yeah.
And then I'd let it breathe. And so when they finally got to turn three on the final laps, and they got together and little Al spun, and Emerson went on to win, that picture had been painted. It was there visually, and you let the viewer just help the viewer enjoy what's there.
And so when those moments happen, you know, is it something where you can prepare for, like, or is this really just off the cuff that you kind of come up with these things?
Yeah, I see your further question. Yes, there is. And that is, in my world, immersion. You have to talk to all of these people. And not just the drivers. If you talk to team members and mechanics and owners and everything, and you just keep that conversation going, so you become part of that community and part of that flow. And by doing that, and then the real problem that I had was at the beginning, I would take all the publications and I'd read them.
Oh, okay.
And then I'd go to the track and I would start talking with people. And I'd end up being confused because talking to the people was real time.
Yes.
And sometimes the publications I was reading were like a week old. And so they were contradictory to one another. So I had to cut back on the publications quite a bit and just do primary research with all those guys. And, of course, being friends with many of them, that paid off a lot, too. And then the other thing about it was being honest with them. I would keep their secrets. If they so they would come and tell me, hey, we're trying this at this race. If it works, you can talk about it. If it doesn't, shut up.
That's awesome.
And so, all of those things kind of paid off. And I talk about that actually quite a bit in my book. Hello, I'm Paul Page. It's Race Day in Indianapolis.
Yes.
It's more immersion than anything else. And when you're doing a series, you know, when you're doing one team for baseball and doing all their games, you get into that mode because you're with them all the time.
Yes. And during the broadcast, how did you, we got a minute left in the segment, how did you tune everybody else out to really focus on bringing that message to the country?
Well, the the message of the secrets that I might have?
No, of the race, of the
across
action.
Across the board. Yeah. That's the point where I sit down and I say, I'm going to treat the audience like they're sitting next to me in the grandstand.
How beautiful.
And they haven't been to a race. Some of them may have been to one or two. So I treat it that way, that I'm sitting with my friends, and I'm telling my friends what's going on.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that was, I think that's something that we're going to talk about here in the next segment, you know, because that's something that was so critical and so important of a key that you brought to the broadcast that I don't see in any form of motorsport right now. So we're going to talk about that on the other side. We've got legendary broadcaster Paul Page here in the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
A comeback for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, game three of the Brewers and Marlins series today. And back on the mound for Milwaukee is veteran right-hander Brandon Woodruff. It's been nearly 2 years since September of 2023 that he started a major league game, his last game in Miami. Woodruff back after surgery and setbacks in his throwing arm. Today's game, a rubber match, the Brewers losing to the Marlins yesterday, 4-2. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
Yeah, we had some opportunities today and didn't do it. Didn't get the big hit at the big time. Put some pressure on him, got the starter out of there. Credit goes to the Marlins. They're scrappy. They play hard. And we didn't do enough. It's hard to win a major league game. You got to stay after it. You got to get big hits. You got to perform with the men in third and one out. We didn't.
Brewers first baseman Rhys Hoskins had to leave that game with an injured left thumb, giving him a hard time holding a bat. Murphy says it could be at least a few days before Hoskins returns. The Brewers host the Dodgers tomorrow night. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big Brother Season 27 is about to drop, but there is an exciting new twist, according to the people who created said twist. Variety says three contestants from previous seasons will drop by every Friday night to analyze the sitch. Other highlights for this coming season will include a mystery hotel theme and a living room with chess guardians, whatever that means. Season 27 of Big Brother drops July 10th on CBS. In other Season 27 news, the creators of South Park are not happy about the delay in their latest season, viewers. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are blaming the Paramount merger with Skydance for the long wait between seasons. Season 26 finished 2 years ago. A recent update was that the new season would drop July 9, but that has been pushed back again to July 27. Just guessing, we will see Parker and Stone's frustration with the networks in a South Park episode in the near future. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Years ago, I had I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wore sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit outdoorstewards.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll get back to Mark Becker's conversation with legendary broadcaster Paul Page from last year, a best of program this week. But once again, that message from Mark Becker about last week's show.
Hey, everyone. Mark here. Hey, if I make a mistake that might cast doubt in the hearts and the minds of our listeners when it comes to especially stuff like the election, I do want to get that corrected because that's true to my integrity and it's true to the integrity of the show. Last week, in the heat of discussion, I incorrectly said that Kamala Harris got more votes than Donald Trump. She didn't. She got about 2 million less. However, the point I was trying to make was that Donald Trump keeps saying that he has this mandate. He doesn't. The fact is, the majority of the country voted for someone else. And that was the point that I was trying to make. So I'm sorry if that caused any confusion, but you know, on this show, it's not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong. And I want to make sure that we get that one right. So thank you for listening, and looking forward to seeing you down the road. We'll see you next week.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. This is a fun one. We've got my childhood hero, Paul Page, legendary broadcaster of Open Wheel and all things fast. Here on the show, and I wanted to talk about one of the things that you were so especially good at, and you kind of touched on it before the break, is I feel that if you're a fan of motorsports, it's a little bit of a niche thing, and so yeah. You have to kind of tell people why they should, like you said earlier in the show, put all of your attention to these humans that are doing incredibly remarkable things. And I think you had such a perfect balance between talking to people who tune in religiously every week, but also balancing that with welcoming in new people to the broadcasts and allowing them to learn.
Well, that's nice of you to say, because that was one of the objectives.
Oh, cool.
We knew that we were a niche and that there were a lot of people that didn't know us, but if they did, we thought that we would be able to keep them. And so you had to balance that broadcast with going for the connoisseur and making sure you put enough of that kind of meat into it, the little technical things or the little driver facts that they really love. But you also then had to almost constantly be updating the person that's just stepped into the chair for the first time. And so you really make me feel good that you say that, because that was part of our objective, was we had to figure out how to do both.
It was. And, you know, and I think, like, it's, you know, my son likes to watch NASCAR, and there's so often.
I'm sorry for him.
I know. Well, we're getting into to Open Wheel a little more because, you know, but the broadcasting, you know, every time they talk about, you know, the new one lug nut, which is so funny how that's like this remarkable, oh my God, moment for NASCAR. We went to one lug nut to hold on the wheel, which is what IndyCar and CART have been doing for 30 freaking years. But then they cut to this same graphic that goes for a minute and 45 seconds. That's like, okay, here we go again. You know, where you have someone that was a real professional that can explain that in layman's terms and then move on. Right. Yeah. And so that was something that was, it was so easy to get sucked into the world of CART because it was a circus. It really was.
Yes, it very definitely was.
And
we'd call it that internally.
Oh, did you really?
Uh-huh.
No kidding.
Yep, the circus is starting again. Here we go.
Yeah, right. And I mean, there was the highest of highs and the lowest of the lows. And I remember my favorite driver was the old Red Gloves, Greg Moore. He's a guy from Canada.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
what a beautiful human being.
Wasn't he? You know, yes. And I can remember and the very moment in Fontana where Greg's tire dug in and he hit the wall head on. And Paul, I can remember the inflection of your voice when you watched it and you just said, "Oh my God." I remember that, Paul. I got goosebumps. I can remember that like it was yesterday. And they just celebrated, or not celebrated, they just, you know, remembered. What was it, 20 years since he died?
Yeah.
How? It's something like, I mean, it, but I remember that. Like, it was yesterday. And I know it wasn't typically you that would have to break that news that someone has passed away. You know, it was typically Jerry Punch or a pit reporter or something. But inevitably, they always cut back to you. And it was you, the voice of comfort, the voice of, okay, guys, here's how we're going to get through this. I mean, I cried. When I was a little kid, I cried when I found out that Greg Moore had passed away. And the cameras turn to you. How do you deal with something like the unthinkable?
Well, I had to do it too many times.
Yeah.
If you were lucky, I say that advisedly, you'd have a bad accident, but the individual was not killed at the track.
Yeah.
And then it got delayed and you didn't have to deal with it because it was announced after the race.
Oh, sure.
But when you had things like Greg Moore and Krasnov and Coletta, it just...
Scott Brayton, yeah.
It just rips your heart out, again, yeah. Because they're your friends, they're your buddies, they're your brothers.
Yeah.
And Greg Moore especially, because that morning I was down doing my usual troll through the pits, and he and I were talking, and you know, he had a great future coming. He was going to go to Penske the next year.
Yes.
And Lord knows how many races he would have won.
Oh my God.
But he had wrecked his scooter the night before.
I remember that.
And in doing it, he broke some bones in his hand, and they created a special splint fiberglass thing to hold his hand so he could race. And he was laughing about it and laughing about, you know, the lidocaine that they were putting in there is so good. Maybe they ought to put it in my butt so I won't feel how high the gravity G's are on the race car.
Yeah.
We're just having a great time. And then to see that, and you do this long enough, you know instantly what it was.
Yeah.
And then to have to wait, because everybody's got to be notified. It's all got to be dealt with. In that particular case, the people running IndyCar got a little off base in that they came up with this idea of they were going to lower the flags and call a yellow light and then make the announcement. This is, you know, it's not what this is. This man has died. He's got a family crying. Well, this is not the time you do those kind of things. I was furious.
Oh, right.
And on the other side of the glass next to me was the race control and Wally Dahlenbeck, the chief steward, and we just kept looking at each other like, what are they doing? Why are they doing it this way? And so finally we said, you know, they can do whatever they want. And they actually brought the flags down once and then they put them back up. They couldn't coordinate anything.
Wow.
And so I just said, we know everybody's notified. We're going to tell the audience. Because they need to know. Their hearts are in their mouths over that accident, too.
Yeah.
So,
But dealing with those, then you reach down and you try to remember the good things and try to give some ease to the pain that I think everybody is feeling.
Right.
When you have those kind of things, just horrible. And, you know, we're unlike any other sport, motor sports. It is not only possible, it is somewhat likely that you will have a serious or a fatal accident at one time or another.
Yeah. And here we're talking with legendary broadcaster Paul Page. And I think, and it's no disrespect to the, you know, Scott Braytons of the world, but I think, you know, when you can see, Greg Moore was what, 24, I think?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And the legacy that he left in his such short time in American open wheel racing, and everybody knows him and everybody, you know, just remarks about what an incredibly, genuinely wonderful person he was. What a legacy that is, you know. And I can't imagine how many champions he probably gone to Formula One. Oh my God, he was so good.
There is a little Greg Moore story there.
I'd love it.
When he was just trying to get an IndyCar or a kart ride at that time, one day I'm looking at this kid who is hanging around in front of Roger Penske's operation, his team set up at the track. And he's just standing. He stood there for a couple of hours. Every time I go by, this kid's still standing. And it was Greg Moore.
Really?
And he was looking for an opportunity to talk to Roger Penske. And so I finally said to one of Penske's lieutenants, I said, a guy named Dan Lubinger, I said, Dan, this kid's been standing out here, really wants to talk to Roger. What do you think? He said, oh, we got to get him in. And so they arranged for him to talk to Roger. And, of course, at that time, he didn't go to Roger. He was with Forsythe that year. But Roger liked him, and Roger was going to put him in a car in the next year.
That's crazy. That's so cool.
But he stayed with it. He's standing out there, and he's going to stand there until he gets to talk to Roger. And that was super.
That's awesome. Wow. And how much of that is, you know, does exists today about, you know, and I don't know how it was with kart, but in IndyCar, there's a certain number of seats that, like, and I don't want to disrespect any drivers, but it's like they're not the best, because some of them, and it's a decent number, are paid and they buy their way into the series. And was that like that back then as well?
It wasn't as prevalent. And when I started, the driver got a portion of the purse.
You'll notice
we never announce the purse anymore because we don't really know what it is.
Right.
But usually then 60% went to the driver and the rest was then allocated to the owner and the team mechanics and you know, whatever else. Now it's not that way at all. You'll never hear what they're paid.
No.
And I actually think that in many ways, today the field is far deeper than it was back then.
Really?
I really believe any time they take a green flag now, that there's a good chance that 15 of them are capable of winning. But in those days, it was number more like 7 or 8. If you're really on top of it, you could probably tell that it was going to be this guy or that guy. And more often than not, you could say it's going to be that guy.
Yeah.
But you really had to be there, and you had to have the feeling, and you had to be talking to everybody and see what their attitudes were to be able to do that.
Yeah.
The thing I have with today's drivers that kind of bothers me is they've become corporate guys.
Yes.
You don't see, you know, well, you mentioned Alex Zanardi. It was just a joy to be around.
Oh, my gosh.
Always joking around, having a great time. He loved what he was doing.
Yeah.
Well, we've got Elio, who is that way.
Yes.
And we, you know, Tony Kanaan was certainly that way, but we're losing those guys, and we're losing them to guys who have been trained to be, and properly so. They got to develop a personality that a corporate boardroom will like.
Right.
And so no controversy, you know, they just, they just try to, they're very vanilla.
Yeah.
And I wish some of them had more out there to say. I love it. Racing is conflict. So it can be conflict off the track too, you know?
Right. One of the things that attracted me to motorsports was the quality of the broadcast. And that's why when I went to Road America the first time, and it was in my adulthood, I took all of those memories that you gave me with me along to the track. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about where IndyCar, where motorsports is today on the other side of the break. We'll see you in a little bit.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. The John and Gordy Show.
I don't want to see Governor Evers go. Dan Schaefer is saying, no. Oh, yeah. You know, he's great, but he's too old. Mm. My ass, he's too old.
Well, he's your age.
Stop it. Yes. Yes, he's my age. So I
think that has something to do with it.
It has a lot to do with it. I feel insulted, Dan. Okay, that was a hidden reason why I didn't want to tell anybody, but thank you, Gordy, for telling everybody my secret.
Well, weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wgbw.fm/contest-terms. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wiss.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll get back to Mark Becker's conversation with legendary broadcaster Paul Page from last year, a best of program this week. But once again, that message from Mark Becker about last week's show.
Hey, everyone. Mark here. Hey, if I make a mistake that might cast doubt in the hearts and the minds of our listeners when it comes to especially stuff like the election, I do want to get that corrected because that's true to my integrity and it's true to the integrity of the show. Last week, in the heat of discussion, I incorrectly said that Kamala Harris got more votes than Donald Trump. She didn't. She got about 2 million less. However, the point I was trying to make was that Donald Trump keeps saying that he has this mandate. He doesn't. The fact is, the majority of the country voted for someone else. And that was the point that I was trying to make. So I'm sorry if that caused any confusion, but you know, on this show, it's not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong. And I want to make sure that we get that one right. So thank you for listening, and looking forward to seeing you down the road. We'll see you next week.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. This is awesome. We got Paul Page, legendary broadcaster, joining me here today. And this is an honor and a thrill. And again, thank you so much for being here.
I'm glad to do it. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about where the sport is today. So I bought your book. I bought the book that John Roskowitz had called The Split, which talks about the split between IndyCar and CART, and then kind of comes back. And I started those books. But I want to talk about where IndyCar is today, because it is not the same as CART.
No, it's not. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, CART was such a thrill because it had so many different manufacturers. We had Mercedes and Honda and Toyota and Buick and Chevrolet and different cars. You look at what a car was like on an oval, and you had the Hondas with the swept wing that went down that looked like a stealth fighter, and you had the Chevys that had the straight wing, and it looked different. And today you have Chevrolet and Honda. I think Honda wants to get out of it, if I read that article right. And all the cars are the same. And it's like NASCAR with open wheels, you know?
Right.
So it
very definitely is, excuse me, it very definitely is a spec series now. It's the Formula Ford.
Yes.
The big cars. And, excuse me. In being that hands everything to the driver, but it takes some of the development excitement away.
Yes.
I mean, I really enjoyed it when we had all those different cars, and there was technology changes, and you could beat somebody with some small change to the way you design your rear wing, or you put a splitter in the first place. You can't do any of that shit.
No, none of it.
And so that hands it to the driver, but it takes away all the good things that the designers, the engineers, and the mechanics are capable of. What did it to them was cost.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Once they became mixed in with all the other sports, and now you're vying for ratings and time, the cost to create one of those cars started to skyrocket. And the owners decided they needed more of a common car that was really strictly regulated. So now we have the Dallara.
Yep.
You can't do that much to it. My son is an engineer on the Andretti team.
That's right.
And he constantly says, geez, I wish we could work on them more, but it's the goal they've been given. But yeah, it takes a lot of the background excitement away.
So what can they do to the car? He's an engineer. Like, is it internal, with tuning the engines, or what kind of things can they do?
None of that.
None of it.
The engine comes in a case from either Chevrolet, which is really Elmore. It's badged as a Chevrolet.
Okay.
Or from Honda, where it is a true Honda.
They're crate motors?
And they bring it in and they send an engineer with it. And you can't modify anything on that engine. You can't touch that engine.
Oh, my gosh.
And then with regard to the chassis, there are some small part replacements, and the sport itself is often calling for little changes, mostly related to safety.
Sure.
But any change that you make or want to make, you've got to get the clearance of IndyCar, and it has to be shared with everybody else. But that does keep overall costs down.
Yeah.
So you could do what Formula One does, which spends an ungodly amount of money.
A Bolt costs $5,000.
But their races are disappointing.
Yes.
I mean, I enjoy it. I watch them, but they're so single file.
Yes.
And then they got that whole DRS thing.
Yes.
That's a great idea, except if I'm coming up to pass you and I'm using DRS, you can't fight me back.
Right.
You're just a sitting duck. I'm going to, and that's, you know, that'll make sense. I mean, push to pass exists in IndyCar, but at least both of you can use it.
Right. You can fight it.
Yeah. It's more of a driver's series. And in many ways, that's good. We see some spectacular runs like we saw last weekend. I mean,
yes,
Paulo is just, he's an amazing little guy. And
is he long for IndyCar?
Bolton Herta, which is,
Is he long for IndyCar, or do you think he'll go to Formula One?
No, I think he'll stay in IndyCar.
Oh, cool.
Most of the guys that come to IndyCar, they end up staying there because they've trained maybe in one of the lesser series of Formula One. You know, they've done Formula 3 or Formula 2, and it's an atmosphere that is not particularly pleasant for them.
Well, Paul Page, this was fun. Thank you so very much for bringing this alive to us here in our audience.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, this was great. I wish you nothing but the best, and it was really an honor to speak with you today.
It was with you as well. You have a good time.
You too, sir. Have a great 4th. Thank you.
Mark's back next week with a brand new show. This is The Rational Revolution.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their communities dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports.